This text from John's Gospel is a rather quaint and profound one. It looks like a very simple story. Simple story perhaps of healing, something Jesus seemed to do over and over. But there's nothing that Jesus did was just ordinary. Just meant to be glossed over, taken for granted. There is always pregnant significance therein to be found. And this is no exception at all. Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem for a festival. And outside the gate, there are particular gates that lead into the walled city of Jerusalem. And one of them is called the Sheep Gate. And outside that gate was this pool, this very special pool. Now, there's some debate, and I'm not going to get into all the textual things because there are variations of the actual name of it. Bethesda is what we have here. Bethzada is actually probably the original name. There was a mixing up of two letters in the Greek. Anyway, that's not the most important thing. But there at this pool, gathered people. And you can actually see excavation of that pool. If you YouTube the pool at Bethesda, you will actually see the recent archaeological excavations of that deep pool that is still there. The pool was considered to be one that possessed healing powers. And so gathered around that pool regularly, not only at festivals, but all the time, were people who were afflicted in various ways. We hear there the lame and those who were paralyzed, those who were blind, those who had all kinds of illnesses, as it were, hoping that they would be able to make benefit of the pool's healing properties. Now, legend had it that when the pool stirred, as it were, it was believed it was an angel. And in some of your Bibles, actually, you would see that there's a verse that talks about the angel coming to stir that. When the King James Version was written, the manuscripts that were available included this verse. Since then, there have been discovery of the early manuscripts of the New Testament written, and that verse was not included. It seems to have made its way in some of the copying, and so it's been left out, indeed, in the most of the credible translations. Again, not the most important thing. What is believed is that the stirring of that pool, as it were, brought healing properties, and so people rushed in to it. Now, that scenario is significant and important and has all kinds of important things to pay attention to. Because what this man has experienced, who seems to be the one that attracts Jesus' attention, is that he is not able to benefit from that. Underground springs fed this, and from time to time there would be a burst of water that would stir. And so here, if you can, in your mind's eye, imagine the desperate people seeking some kind of relief. Remember, there are no hospitals to speak of there. There are no clinics, walk-in clinics. The people who are sick look for help, indeed, especially if they're poor. They have no money to pay for doctors, and so they are desperately anticipating something to help them out of their particular predicament. And you can imagine as they wait, even if a breeze comes or something that they think is stirring, those who might take a long time to get in start, and there's this mad rush into the pool. Just imagine it. Imagine the desperation. Imagine the reflex and impulse for health that is motivating those who would want to go into this pool. And Jesus comes along and is attracted to a particular man. Now, we're told a detail about this man that is almost incredulous, really, when you think of it. This man has been there in that state for how long? 38 years. Now, I often wonder, whenever I see numbers in the Bible, like, how do you get 38? 38 years, maybe that's what it was, 38 years. It's a long time to be somewhere hoping, don't you agree? It's a long time to be disappointed time after time after time after time. Jesus comes to the man, speaks to the man, looks at the man, looks on his condition, and asks him a question that, you know, sometimes we just want to scratch our heads. Because at the very obvious level, we say, well, why on earth are you asking that question? Jesus says, do you want to be well? That would be, as Barbara reminds me sometimes, one of my duh moments, you know? Well, duh. What do you think? I'm spending 38 years here trying to get in the pool. You ask me, do I want to be well? I'm just trying to imagine what's in the man's head. But there's a purpose. There's a purpose and there's a significance in the language that is being employed by Jesus that's not obviously apparent. Do you want to be made well? The word that he uses is whole, restored to wholeness. It's not merely, in the NIV, it has cured there, but that is much too limiting a translation. Do you want to be restored? Do you want to be made well? And the reason that that is significant is because we sometimes read our own modern understandings of words back into the first century. And in the first century, the concept of illness was not only or even primarily about the deficit. It had to do with broken relationship. Illness, because if you notice what the man says, is there is what? No one to help me get in. Illness, perceived in the Mediterranean eye, as it were, had to do with how one was cut off from community, from family. So you remember the lepers that Jesus comes upon and heals. They have to live apart from the village, apart from their families, away. Illness and the restoration and the healing and the wholeness that comes as a response to illness is always about restoring that person into community. So it is the relationships that are key in this understanding and the imagination. So Jesus says, do you want to be restored? And his response in fact begs the question and lifts it up and says, yes, I've been here a long time, but when the water is stirred, I have no one to help me in. And the people rush and get in there before me. And then Jesus says something quite shocking. It is not merely get up or stand up. The word in Greek that tries to capture the sense of the Aramaic, exite, is the word that is used for arise, the word that the Bible uses for resurrection. Jesus says to him, be raised. In other words, Jesus is offering something more than a physical remedy to his problem. And the question that occurred to me as I see this is that I see myself and I see perhaps sometimes our congregation in this story. Because after 38 years, the man does not even respond to the invitation and the question Jesus asked with a yes. So it obviously, when we read it and we assumed that it was a da moment, it was not to him. It wasn't obvious. Do you want to be made well? The man comes back with an excuse. An excuse that has been formed because of his imprisoned imagination. You and I know that if you spend long enough with the mindset of victimhood, with the mindset that you just can't do any better, that it's some other person's fault, that it's the fault of circumstances, that becomes to encroach on the possibilities that you can conceive of and you settle. You and I know from our own personal experience and from the experience of community that sometimes we can get so stuck in a particular way of seeing life, of engaging our own deficits, as it were, that we cannot see beyond what those are staring us in the face. And Jesus is confronting him with an opportunity for imagination, is trying to kindle and animate a new reality, an alternative way of seeing his life. It is not only about getting into the pool first and restoring your legs if it is that he's paralyzed, but you are cut off from community, you're cut off from yourself, you're cut off from the very God who has created you. You're cut off from the possibilities of your life. You've spent 38 years, and you can imagine that all this time there has not only been spent trying to get in the pool, he is on his mat and he is begging. That's how he survives. How else is he going to eat? How could he live for 38 years without food? He can't move very far, move very fast. He's got to collect enough money to pay someone to go get some food for him and come back, meager as it may be. But all he seems to be able to muster is to lie on his mat, waiting for the pool. I don't know what the story is in your life. What have you been waiting for What is limiting your life? The possibilities. What sense of victimhood do you operate under? What lack of imagination has encroached upon your life and your hopes? What limiting, blaming activity are you engaged in and I engaged in now? Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. It all begins with what we think. Jesus comes and intrudes into this man's thought world and offers him an opportunity to see what resurrected life sounds like, tastes like, feels like. What restored life. What imagination can do when we resist the scripts that have been formed for us and those that we have adopted. Here is a rescuing story, not merely a healing cure. Here is an opportunity for this man to experience in the presence of Jesus a new way of life. So that he may be restored to his family. He has no one to put him in. It was inconceivable that people could live alone in those days. We depended on each other. That he is cut off from his family is a travesty beyond description. And so, I believe that the invitation of this text to us as a congregation and to us as individuals is to listen and respond to Jesus' initiative to make us rise up. Rise up in our lives. Rise up in our faith. Rise up in our possibilities. Rise up in our commitments. Rise up in the sacrifice we are ready to make in order to bless and mend the world. Rise up in the restoration of our relationships that have been fractured, sometimes of our own doing, and other times because of circumstances. Rise up. Rise up as a congregation and not be limited to the way we have always done things. Rise up and see what possibilities on the horizon God is calling us to. How to deepen our faith and to give expression to that. How to find in the contours and the confluence of the neighborhood's issues and our city's issues, opportunities and apertures for us to insinuate ourselves into in loving, gracious, courageous, and activistic ways. Rise up as a congregation. Rise up as individuals. Rise up as a community to the resurrected life that goes beyond just the things that we settle for. The things that we are hoping for that maybe one day we'll get lucky and get in the pool. Get in the pool of enough money. Get in the pool of enough clothes. Get in the pool of enough whatever. Only to find ourselves completely dissatisfied. Because you know what? Like the man perceived, there's always going to be somebody else and many others who will rush there first and get more than you have. You know that? And so you and I will always be behind if we think those things will satisfy. Here, into the maelstrom and the mix of this, does Jesus come and says, rise up. Rise up and receive the restored spiritual life that grounds you in what really matters. Grounds you in God's way of living, of responding. And the pastoral care team of which we have heard today, their ministry, is such an expression, as it were. It is an expression to go into the lives of people, not only to fellowship with them and encourage them, that's important, but to reaffirm and to reconstitute and to invite them again to kindle and hold on to that faith that has kept them this long. For that is what it means to be made whole, doesn't it? To be remembered. To be reconnected, to be made whole, is to recognize that we have been torn apart in many ways. We have been distanced from our true selves. To be made whole is to be reconstituted as the way that we are meant to be. So the question is, do you want to be made well? You see, we have, all of us, very textured mats, don't we? The mat of familiarity, perhaps. The mat of comfort. the mat of victimhood, maybe the mat of exotic possibilities, always seeking after the next best thing. Maybe it's just a plain old humdrum, routine, ordinary mat. Whatever it is, we're comfortable where we are. Jesus comes and invites us to get up off our mat and to seize the power of a life that is filled with the glory, the blessing of God, and opportunities to respond in care, in justice, in hope, in faith sharing. Get up. Get up. Do you want to be made well?